Okay, good morning. Let's turn to Job, chapter 6. Okay, Job 6. Then Job answered, "Oh, that my vexation were actually weighed and laid in the balances together with my iniquity. For then it would be heavier than the sand of the seas. Therefore my words have been rash, for the arrows of the Almighty are within me. Their poison my spirit drinks. The terrors of God are arrayed against me. Does the wild donkey bray over his grass, or does the ox low over his fodder? Can something tasteless be eaten without salt, or is there any taste in the white of an egg? My soul refuses to touch them. They are like loathsome food to me. Oh, that my request might come to pass, and that God would grant my longing. Would that God were willing to crush me, that he would loose his hand and cut me off. But it is still my consolation, and I rejoice in unsparing pain, that I have not denied the words of the Holy One. What is my strength that I should wait? And what is my end that I should endure? Is my strength the strength of stones, or is my flesh bronze? Is it that my help is not within me, and that deliverance is driven from me? For the despairing man, there should be kindness from his friend. Lest he forsake the fear of the Almighty. My brothers have acted deceitfully like a wadi, like the torrents of wadis which vanish, which are turbid because of ice into which the snow melts. When they become waterless, they are silent. When it is hot, they vanish from their place. Their paths of their course wind along. They go up into nothing and perish. The caravans of Tima looked. The travelers of Sheba hoped for them. They were disappointed, for they had trusted. They came there and were confounded. Indeed, you have now become such. You see a terror and are afraid. Have I said, give me something, or offer a bribe for me from your wealth, or deliver me from the hand of the adversary, or redeem me from the hand of the tyrants? Teach me, and I will be silent, and show me how I have erred. How painful are honest words. But what does your argument prove? Do you intend to reprove my words, when the words of one in despair belong to the wind? Would you even cast lots for the orphans, and barter over your friend? And now please look at me and see if I lie to your face. Desist now, let there be no injustice. Even desist, my righteousness is yet in it. Is there injustice on my tongue? Cannot my palate discern calamities?" Amen. Okay, so for the next two chapters, 6 and 7, it's going to be Job's response to Eliphaz, the first friend. And again, remember, these guys are his true friends. Right, so they're the only three guys that actually come to Job in the midst of all of his tragedy, all his calamity. And so, but now they're speaking one at a time. So Eliphaz has two chapters. So now Job is going to respond to that. And then Bildad will have his two chapters, and Job will respond, and so on and so forth. And this will happen in three sets. And so this the way that the poetry is laid out. And so Job starts, and he begins to finally recognize that God is the author of this. And pointedly, in verse 4, he says, "For the arrows of the Almighty are within me." He knows that even though the enemy has taken away his homes, his lands, his kids, you know, all that stuff, he recognizes that this is God's hand. This is the sovereignty of God. For whatever reason, God allowed this to happen. That's the central truth. And all Job is doing, he's not at this stage, he's not complaining, he's just expressing his anguish. And that's okay. You know, I think there sometimes is like this idea in the church that it is a sin for us to express what's in our heart, to express what's happening to us. And so that's why you have a lot of times people come to church and, you know, like, their family is in a wreck, you know, and someone goes, "Hey, are you okay? I'm fantastic. You know, I'm great. God bless the Lord." But inside, they're like dying. There's nothing wrong with expressing anguish. That's part of the human condition that God has created us in the Imago Dei. And so don't mistake expressing anguish for complaining. Those are two totally different things. You know, complaining is, "God, you know, what are you doing? You know, I hate you," you know, kind of stuff. Anguish is, "Lord, what's going on? You know, there's something is happening to me. Can you explain, you know, what's going on?" And these type of things. I know that seems to be quite a bit of a fine line there. But I think you'll know in your heart. I think we know when we're complaining and we're expressing anguish. And if you want a great example in the Bible, just read the Psalms that we'll get to very, very quickly. And David is just continually expressing his anguish. He is complaining sometimes. And I think when you see that, you recognize it. But if you notice in the Psalm, because the Psalm is not written in one sitting, okay? Because sometimes we read poetry, we just think, David is expressing anguish, and he spends some time in the presence of the Lord, and then he says, but blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, I mean, these are his conclusions that he comes to. And so when you have that ending to the anguish, it makes for a good psalm, right? Lord, you know, I'm tired, I'm broken. Is that complaining? No. That's just expressing our hearts. And we do that. I say, God, I'm really tired. Lord, give me strength. You know, I mean, I think that's a pretty good prayer, right? That's a really good prayer. Lord, man, my children are driving me crazy right now. Lord, please give me the patience. I think that's the everyday prayer of most parents with kids under five. That's basically what we do. And so this is part of this idea. And Job, again, he's expressing his deep anguish before the Lord. He's just simply saying that something is happening to him. And you know, the reality is that's the first path to repentance or to a refreshment. You know, to recognize the condition that you're in right now. Can you imagine how wrong this would be if Job just starts off and just denies that he's going through anything? You know, Lord, everything's good. It's all good. It's cool. You know what I mean? His friends come and said, oh, I'm okay. Are you okay? I'm okay. I mean, that would be disingenuous, right? It'd be like wrong for to Job to express those feelings. So he's just expressing his anguish. And it's okay for you in your time of trial and tribulation to also express your anguish. Now, unfortunately, his friends don't recognize the nuance of those things. Because before his friends came and spoke to Job, they already made a conclusion in their heart. They've already said, you did something wrong. Like, you did something, or something's in your heart. You know, everything looks good on the outside, but something's in your heart that really displeased God. And so there's something really wrong with you. And that was kind of the idea going forward. And so from 14 to the end of the chapter, Job, he seeks his friend's sympathy. And he does it quite beautifully, actually. Let me explain. He goes through this whole thing by talking about water. And in my translation, it's the word wadi. It's basically a brook in the desert. In fact, now the term wadi is just term desert in the language of its time, language now. But it was this brook. And this, he says, this is what like bad friends are. You know, and so if you want to know what good friends are and bad friends are, and we have this saying actually in our own vernacular, and I'll explain in a moment. And he says in verse 15, my brothers have acted deceitfully like a wadi. This is a brook, particularly a brook in the desert, okay? And so like torrents of wadis which vanish, which is turbid because of ice and into which the snow melts. When they become waterless, they are silent. When it is hot, they vanish from their place. So this is, check out this beautiful image and poetry that is using. The winter, so these are travelers. Travelers would pass through winter, so much water. The ice melts. There's a torrent. And I mean, it is full. It is loud. You know, when times are good, friends are loud. You know, hey, man, you're the best. Oh, man, this is awesome. You know, and so on and so forth. And then in the summer, when these travelers traverse this area, they find that it's now silent. There's actually no more water. When they wanted, think of this expression. When they wanted refreshing, they found none. Like the travelers traveling through the desert, when they remember there was water there, and all of a sudden, it's not there anymore. And now, no more sound of the stream, the torrent coming down from the polar caps. Now, it's just silence. And what happens? You know, the friends that come to you when times are good, when times are bad, do you notice something? They're absent. They're silent. There's no sound of them. And in fact, he says it's like vapor. They vanish. And that this is like fake friends. You know what I mean? It's if you think of a story in the Bible, this is the prodigal son. The prodigal son, when he was partying, he had money. Man, there's all kinds of friends everywhere. And as soon as it became difficult, he had no more friends. They all left him. And this is how, in honesty, in our day, this is when you can find out who your true friends are, because they stick to you in times of trouble. They don't abandon you when your life is in disarray. You know, a friend, the Bible tells us, Proverbs says, that's closer than a brother. You know, these are the guys that even when you mess up, they stay close by you. You know, there's this famous story that people have used for men's accountability for years. But this is a true story. There was a Bible study group in California. A bunch of men got together for accountability. And then one of their brothers left his wife, moved to the East Coast, and basically to have an affair with his girlfriend. I mean, left the wife, left the kids. And so these friends heard about this. They didn't give up on him. You know, they didn't just let him go. Every single one of them, you know, I mean, these were doctors, lawyers, business people, you know, engineers. I mean, very busy people. They all got on a plane. They triangulated his position. You know, they were able to find out exactly where he was, and they confronted him. You know, can you imagine your whole accountability group, you know, 5-6 guys, you know, come out, I think it was in Boston or, you know, somewhere in the East Coast, and then they go and confront this guy and basically, you know, lead him to repent and bring him back home to his wife and his kids. I mean, these are our friends that are closer than a brother. You know, a lot of times in the church, when we hear someone is not doing well, you know, what do we usually do? We usually throw them under the bus, right? There was this this social commentator, you know, that actually said a really powerful term, powerful word, phrase, and he says, you know, the church is the only place where they kill the wounded. You know, that's what we do, right? The church is supposed to be the place where the wounded are healed. You know, but instead what happens, you know, someone's going through something and we just shoot them, we hunt them down, right? We hear a pastor, you know, has become unfaithful and we say like, that guy, well, okay, he does kind of deserve it, you know, but I mean, I don't want to lose idea, but we just totally throw him under the bus. You know, we don't pray for restoration, which is the biblical mandate that Jesus lays out before us, right? You know, even discipline, you know, discipline is the Lord's discipline and the church discipline is not for the sake of punishment. And then that's where we miss out on that. The discipline of the Lord and the discipline of the church is for restoration. You know, he says, go to him, you know, restore him. If not, then two of you guys go and restore him. If not, you know, tell it to the church. And you know, and if that doesn't change him, you know, and then kick him out and let him alone. Let him rot in this place and he'll come back to the Lord. That's the whole point, is restoration. But I think we a lot of times as members of the body of Christ, we become a little too judicious and we think this is punishment and things. But that's not the ethos of the scriptures nor the heart of God in this way. And so he's just expressing these things and he turns and he asks his friends this pointed question. He says, you know, I mean, basically, can I just get some sympathy from you? You know, do you need to accuse me? Like, and he says, did I ask for your money? You know, did I ask for something that was so difficult? Is it too much for me to ask of my friends purely for some sympathy? And he concludes this, and then he'll continue on in the next chapter. So let's close our eyes. Let's think about this. Let's think about our horizontal relationships with people. Do you think that we have been judgmental, like Job's friends? When you hear something, do you go to your friend with an open mind and an open heart? Or have you already cast judgment and now pronouncing sentence when you gather together? Are you a friend that's closer than a brother? Or are you really, I mean, I don't want to make such a stark comparison, but are you acting as the accuser of the brethren? Just think about the last friend that you had that was in distress. Did you blame them or did you help them? Were you a judge or were you a comforter? Were you the paraclete, the one who stands right alongside? You know, standing alongside someone who has sinned does not mean that you approve of their sin. But you're just a friend. You can be disapproving of sin and still be their friend. How do we know this? That's exactly what Jesus does to us every day. And so let the Holy Spirit speak to you today about your horizontal relationships. Is there someone in your life right now that could use a friend? Maybe someone that's run away from God, that's distant from the Lord, that is not really living his life or her life with much wisdom. But can you be that friend that brings them back? Or will you be that friend that joins the chorus of the accuser of the brethren? Well, let's pray.
Trembling, I can see that my legs are weak. I can see that my head is spinning, but I will overcome. And I know that my heart is hurting, and I know that my soul it aches, and I know that it seems I'm failing, but I will overcome. Oh Lord, I'm strong in you. Oh Lord, I'm wise in you. Oh Lord, I can see in you, so I will overcome. Oh Lord, I'm loved by you. Oh Lord, I'm free in you. Oh Lord, I'm complete in you, so I will overcome. I will overcome, I will overcome. I can see that my hands are trembling. I can see that my legs are weak. I can see that my head is spinning, but I will overcome. And I know that my heart is hurting, and I know that my soul it aches, and I know that it seems I'm failing, but I will overcome. Oh Lord, I'm strong in you. Oh Lord, I'm wise in you. Oh Lord, I can see in you, so I will overcome. Oh Lord, I'm loved by you. Oh Lord, I'm free in you. Oh Lord, I'm complete in you, so I will overcome. I will overcome, I will overcome. I will overcome, oh Lord. Oh Lord, I'm strong in you. Oh Lord, I'm wise in you. Oh Lord, I can see in you, so I will overcome. Oh Lord, I'm loved by you. Oh Lord, I'm free in you. Oh Lord, I'm complete in you, so I will overcome. Oh Lord, I'm strong in you. Oh Lord, I'm wise in you. Oh Lord, I can see in you, so I will overcome. Oh Lord, I'm loved by you. Oh Lord, I'm free in you. Oh Lord, I'm complete in you, so I will overcome. I will overcome, I will overcome. I will overcome. I will overcome.
Let's pray. Let's pray this morning. If you have a friend, a relative maybe, someone close to you that is running away from God, or you know, whatever it may be, you know, let's pray. Let's pray for their soul. Let's pray that they would run back to Jesus. And let's pray that you would play a part in this restoration. You know, God is in the restoration business. That's what he does. That's what he does best. And he wants us to be a part of that. He wants us to be a friend that's not a judge, that's not the executioner, but that's the advocate. Let's lift them up, and let's lift ourselves up as well. Let's pray. Let's lift up our community. Let's be faithful friends. And let's pray for family members, brothers and sisters in the body that are dealing with cancer. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for those in therapy as well. Let's pray for our community that's battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical sickness, and let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for a community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan and Cambodia. Let's pray for Pastor Sophia, Jungmin, and Hyunjin as they plant a church in Tokyo. Let's just pray for a real spirit of unity. Let's pray for a vision to come together. Let's pray for open doors. Let's pray that they would attract followers, that the Lord would really just plant his peg there in Tokyo. Let's also pray for Cambodia. Pray for Grace. She's on the hunt of a new location. Let's pray for God's favor with landlords and all kinds of things. Let's pray for Oasis House, the Inner Healing Center with Pastor Jenny. Let's pray that even in the midst of COVID, that the center would continue to grow and minister to the healing needs of the community. And let's lift up these countries and our friends there. Let's pray for our missions council, and let's pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we really hear from the Lord and really lead our church in our missional endeavors. Let's pray. Let's cover our local outreach for Agape, Homi, Freedom Bridge, Recreation, SP Lights. Some are on hold. Some are very active. Let's pray that God would continue to open doors and just really unify and bless the volunteers that go and the leaders that lead. Let's pray for SP Fam, our foster and adoption ministries, and let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead Cadence, to lead our families. We have one baby that's actually going back to her birth mother, and so there's a party this Sunday, and this is actually our kind of quarterly gathering. Let's just pray for a wonderful time of sending off and fellowship for all the members of SP Fam. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight, for intercessory prayer meeting. Pray that God would really speak to them and they would pray the purposes of God. Let's pray for SPU and SP Youth, that our leaders, our pastors and directors would lead our young people into a deeper relationship with Jesus. And let's pray for your powerful encounters of prayer and the word and worship and fellowship tonight. Let's lift up. And lastly, let's pray for Hong Kong. Well, let's just lift up our battered city. The new security law has passed. You know, a lot of people are confused and many frightened. People always ask, well, what's the church's response? To be honest, I don't know. But I do know is that whenever persecution, whenever difficulties have hit, the church has always thrived. And so let's pray for just the right attitude, just the right hearts. Let's pray that this would not be a deterrent, but really would be an accelerator to grow, that people would look to God in the midst of this time. Well, let's really lift up our city. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the passage today. We thank you for teaching us about friendship, God. Lord, you are our friend. Lord, you stay close to us in thick and thin. Lord, no matter if we're on the mountaintop or we're in the lowest of valleys, God, you are always there. And so teach us to also be that type of friend, God, to others around us. Lord, to be that brother and sister in Christ, Lord, that we don't act as judge and executioner, but Lord, we come, God, as comforter, God, and as advocate. And so would you teach us, God, to have, Lord, thriving friendships, Lord. And hopefully every single one of us has friends like that in our lives. And if we don't, let us start that pattern by becoming that friend to others, Lord. God, we thank you. Watch over us. Speak to us, God, in a powerful way this week and especially through this weekend, Lord. God, we thank you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you over the weekend on Sunday. Please pray for a powerful service as we wrap up the whole series on sonship this Sunday.